Exodus chapter 11 and verse 7. Exodus 11 and verse 7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. This is the first time the word dog occurs in the Bible. And it's important because here we see the demonstration of God with regard to his power and authority, that while the dogs in Egypt could bark and howl because the angel of death would be passing through to kill and slay all the firstborn in Egypt, yet the dogs in Israel would be silent. They would not bark. And that would be the demonstration that there is a God above all other gods. And that would refer to the gods of Egypt, of which we find many deities in relation to beasts and animals in the universe. These gods were helpless when the Passover, when the angel of death was passing through Egypt, slaying the firstborn. Keep your Bibles open, because in this study, we are going to refer to many, many Bible texts. It's a Bible study on the study of the year of the dog. Now, Chinese New Year has passed, 16th February, and it introduces to us the year of the dog. What I'm doing now is a study on the word dog or dogs in the Bible and see what lessons we can gain from there. Today, we start off with Sungai Ara Gospel Hall. But you were not the first to listen to this study, because on 4th February, Butterworth Gospel Hall heard it. Then Island Grace Gospel Center, then Burma Road Gospel Hall, and last week I had a rest after 3 weeks of studies. Next week I shall go to Bukit Mertajam. And a special privilege will be given to Island Grace Gospel Center, to Butterworth, when they would hear part 2 of the study on the dog. It demonstrates here that there's so much material on the dog in the Bible that I need 2 sessions. But unfortunately, Sungai Ara gives me only 1. So you will be stuck with only 1. Island Glitz also is giving me a 2nd session. So with this, we shall end the study of the dog for this period. Now, as I pointed out at the beginning, this is a study of the dog in the Bible. 16 February, we had a lot in the media about horoscopes, what the stars foretell concerning the personality of a person born in the year of the dog. The media, as usual, would make forecasts of the kind of person you would be in the year 2018 if you are born in the year of the dog. An example would be people born in the year of the dog are usually independent, sincere, loyal, decisive, according to Chinese zodiac analysts. They are not afraid of difficulties in daily life. Those shining characteristics make them have harmonious relationships with people around. Their strengths, their values, loyal, responsible, clever, courageous, lively. I hope those of you who are born in the year of the dog are like that. I'm not sure. Your husband or your wife will be able to tell you. I'm not sure. The members of the family will be able to testify whether you are such or not. Well, as like all human beings, you have your weaknesses. You are sensitive, conservative, stubborn, emotional. Well, that's what the horoscopes and what the stars foretell. The dog is highly respected by men and has a brilliant record of valiant services to men. You are not going to get a good report of the dog as we study it in the Bible, but I want to tell you all that in spite of all that is to be said, the dog is indeed very well respected. So much so that the dog is regarded as a friend. A friend. Man's best friend. And we read, the dog is man's good friend which can understand the human spirit and obey its master. Whether he is wealthy or not, the Chinese regard it as an auspicious animal. If a dog happens to come into a house, it symbolizes the coming of fortune. I must admit that this is not so with me. Dogs often come into my house, into my garden. And when they do come to my garden, they give me some deposits for them, for me to remember. So, not good fortune, it's bad fortune for me. I don't like the dogs that come in that stray into my garden. Well, that's a fact. Many of us keep and have pet dogs. But in spite of that, we do love dogs. Don't be mistaken. I myself love dogs. And those of you who are familiar with my ruminations in Facebook will see this profile photo of me with a dog. Because I love dogs too. Well, that's by way of introduction. Let's go to see what the Bible has to say about the dog. Before we do that, there's something that I must bring to your attention. Although we know that dogs are man's best friend, there are some circles that are afraid of dogs. Religious circles. And they dare not see the picture of dogs even. Now, in the zodiac that we are familiar with, there are 12 animals. And among them are two animals that these groups do not want to see. And they are the dog and the pig. So much so that even on a t-shirt where the zodiac sign of the animals is printed onto the t-shirt for sale, they miss out the picture of the dog and the pig. Can you see the picture of the dog and the pig missing? Yeah. Because they are afraid. Now, they are unclean animals. And that's what the Bible says too about them. They are unclean. Well, not unclean to the extent that we should be so afraid of them when we see them. We get very sensitive and we just do not allow anybody to show us those two pictures. Well, whatever it is, that is another story when we talk of animals which are clean and unclean in another time. In the meanwhile, I want to say this, that while I'm talking about the animal of the zodiac sign, the dog, the pig, and so on, I want you to realize that I do not subscribe to all these horoscopes. The Bible condemns it, that we should not be looking at horoscopes at the stars foretell. We should instead be looking at what the scriptures foretell, not what the stars foretell. So it is regarded as an abomination, and I would like Christians to pay attention to that because it is a serious matter. Now, what does the Bible then teach us about the dogs? This study of the dogs, or the zodiac animals, I began in the year, now it's 2018, I began in the year 1983. And that means that this year is the 36th year. I'm finishing the cycle of the animals in 3 cycles already. I thought about it. So at the end of this year, I have got to decide, should I go on to the study of the pig or revise it? I have got to decide that. I have got 36 studies on this already. But there is a little bit of problem which I need to consider. I had all these animal studies in PowerPoint only from 2010 when I started using PowerPoint. That means all these studies are illustrated with pictures, whereas the previous studies were not illustrated with pictures but only with notes. So should I continue? That would be the question I need to answer. at the end of this year, whether to continue to finish my PowerPoint studies on these animals up to the year of the ox. Incidentally, I would like to do so because the year of the ox is my year, and it's right to end with my year and then call it a day. All right, that will be the year to come. See how the Lord leads. Now let's go straight into the study, because I have a lot to cover today. And I see some taking down notes. Now I may not give you time to take down the notes, because I am going a bit fast. And you need not worry, because all the notes are on my website, including the PowerPoint, including what I say this morning. Everything is on the website. Let's start with the dogs and the concepts and comparisons. The concepts attached to the dogs. What do we understand by the dog? When we want to study anything in Scripture, to do a Bible study of a particular word, very important, we must look at the occurrences of the word. And what is helpful to us is always to look for the first and last occurrences of that word. Now, this word dog is translated from a Hebrew, Caleb. And this is the Caleb of Joshua. Caleb and Joshua. Caleb was a dog. And the Greek word kuon. Dog occurs 15 times in 15 verses. Dogs 24 times in its plural form in 25 verses, in 23 verses. So altogether, you'll find that they occur 39 times. So that's why the study of the dog is so large that I need two sessions to do this study. You will only be entitled to one study. But you can always go to my website for the second study when I begin with Butterworth next week. The week after. Now, the word dog, first occurrence is found in the text that we read when we started with the study. This will give us the idea that the Lord is in control. It demonstrates in the silence of the dog in Israel God's power over all the deities, the animal deities in Egypt, that when God wanted to slay the firstborn in Egypt, all had to submit. There was no power to be able to go against it. And God demonstrated this by silencing the dogs in Israel and allowing the dogs in Egypt to bark and howl, because death was taking place, because some spiritual phenomenon was taking place. And you know that dogs always howl and do so when some unnatural things are happening. The word dog in plural form occurs in Exodus 22:31, where we are told that if an animal dies in the field, its flesh is not to be eaten. Its flesh is to be thrown into the dog, to the dogs, for them to eat, not to be eaten by human beings. And in the New Testament, the word dogs occurs only in Matthew 7:6, where we are told that you are not to cast holy things unto God, unto the dogs. First occurrence in Old Testament, flesh is not to be eaten, flesh that is killed naturally of animals must not be thrown to the dogs. Must be thrown to the dogs. Here in Matthew, holy things must not be thrown to the dogs. In the same way as pearls must not be cast before swine. More about that as we go on. The last occurrence in the Old Testament would be Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 3. And here we read of God wanting to punish Israel with four judgments. He says, I will punish Israel with the judgment of dogs tearing the people, animals, beasts in the field will destroy and devour all those victims. And God's form of punishment, he will allow the sword to slay. Four judgments. One, he will bring the judgment of the sword, slaying the people. He will allow the dogs to tear the flesh of the victims. He will allow the beast in the air and the creatures in the sea to devour and destroy. That will be his judgment to come. Okay, the occasions. How are these words used? We talked about the first and last occurrences of the word dog or dogs. Now we want to see how they are used, the occasions. Firstly, let's see how they are used naturally. Now, naturally, in the natural sense, dogs could be savage apart from being street walkers and scavengers. Generally, dogs are regarded in the Bible as street walkers, walking in the streets, scavenging for food, but they are very savage. For example, dogs lick the sores on Lazarus' body and limbs. You remember that Lazarus, when he sat at the gate of the rich man, dogs would come and lick the sores on his limbs. Dogs would lick up Ahab's blood when he was assassinated. Ahab tried to run away by taking upon the guise of a Jehoshaphat, the king of the northern kingdom. But somehow a stray arrow struck him and he died. And his blood splattered all over in the chariot. And later on we find that the dogs came and licked up the blood in the chariot. So dogs are scavengers. Dogs also ripped up Jezebel. Jezebel, the queen of Ahab, queen Ahab's wife, stood at the tower above the entrance to the fort. And then we find Jehu coming and say to the eunuchs who were standing behind her, "Throw her down, that wicked queen, throw her down." And they threw her down. And we find Jehu took his chariot, rode over her, and then later on he realized that he must not allow this body of Jezebel to lie there, because she was the queen's, she was the daughter of a queen, of a king. So he went back to see that Jezebel would have a good proper burial. But when he went back, they found that the dogs had eaten up the flesh, ripped up Jezebel and ripped and had eaten the flesh. So dogs are scavengers. Then we like to find how the word is used in a metaphorical sense. That is not in its natural sense, but used for something to represent something else. For example, Caleb, a dog, is used to represent a male prostitute. We read, for example, in Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 18, that God would not like any funds earned by prostitutes, whores or harlots, male prostitutes, to be used to fund God's activities in the temple. And that is a very important principle for us to understand as well, that money from unbelievers is not to be used for God's program, because God, these people would not appreciate God, and how could they ever give to God? So these funds must not be used. And so God say the male prostitutes are dogs. We also find that the word dogs occurs in 1 Samuel 17, 42, 43, where Goliath was very, very angry when he found David coming with staves and stones. He said, "What do you think I am? You think I'm a dog? Coming with staves and stones to fight with me." So he was very insulted. We find also David himself was very insulted when he was chased by King Saul. And when he had a time in Adendai to kill King Saul, he said to King Saul, "Look, I had the opportunity to kill you. Why are you chasing me all the time? You think I'm a dead dog?" And so the word dog occurs as a very insulting word. But incidentally, Mephibosheth, the grandson of Saul, was later on invited by David to sup at his table. And although Mephibosheth was unworthy of it, because he was lame, and his grandfather chased after King David. He said, "I'm a dead dog. Why are you showing me so much mercy and grace?" David invited him to come and sup with him. He felt himself unworthy, but David made him worthy, just like all of us, as I shall develop that later on. Then we find in Matthew 7:6 that the Lord denounced those who could not discern things sacred. Do not throw holy things to dogs. In Philippians 3:2, Paul referred to the Judaizers who wanted the Jews who had converted to Christianity to go back to keep the law and all its ceremonies and so on, that they must be circumcised, they must keep the Sabbath and so on. And Paul said, to go back to these things again after you have come out of them, you are like a dog going back to its vomit. These Judaizers are dogs, because once come out, we don't go back. Christians who had professed, so-called Christians, who had professed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 2:21 is described as those like dogs who have returned to their vomits, like sows or pigs returning to their mire to swallow in the mud. You don't do that. Now, something that these people refer to true Christians who can be lost. Now, that's not true. In the context, we find that these were people who at one time called themselves, professed themselves to be Christians, but are not. And therefore, it is not unthinkable that later on they should return back to their vomits. More about that later on. And those who do the commandments of God will have the right to enter the city of Jerusalem. We read in Revelation 22:14-15. But those who do not will be like dogs. What are the dogs? They are the sodomites, they are the fornicators, they are the murderers, the sorcerers, as described for us in Revelation 22. So these are dogs. Right. Now, let's look at some odd texts in the Bible that associate dogs with pigs. For example, we find that in Matthew 7:6, I've been quoting this, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs." We read also 2 Peter 2:22, "A dog returned to his own vomit, a sow to her wallowing in the mud." We read also in Isaiah 66 verse 3, "Whoever offers a lamb is like one who breaks a dog's neck. Whoever makes a grain offering is like one who presents pig's blood." What does that mean? That if you offer a lamb, you are like one who breaks a dog's neck. Now, if you look at Exodus chapter 13 and verse 13 for the background, you will note that in its connection with the Passover, the story of the Passover lamb, the Lord said, "All firstborn belong to me. All firstborn of animals, of men and of beasts, belong to me. They must be slain, as in the case of Egypt. But in the case of Israel, you can redeem them. And how do you redeem them? By slaying a lamb in their place." And so, all the firstborn in Egypt were redeemed by the Passover lamb. But if a person does not want to redeem the firstborn of a donkey, which was a very, very useful animal to keep in the house, then what would he do? He could not just keep the donkey. He could redeem the donkey by slaying a lamb, just as in the case of the others. But if a person still did not want to slay a lamb and to redeem the donkey, but wanted to kill the donkey, then the instruction was, kill the donkey, break his donkey. If the donkey could not be sacrificed to God for his use, it could not be for your use as well. Slay it and kill it if it's not for you to use. And so this is the principle of the slaying of the firstborn and the necessity of the Passover lamb to substitute. And so, in the context of Isaiah 66, those of you, the Israelites, they came to God with a lamb as a sacrifice. But in the sacrifice of the lamb, it was just in show only. A lamb was sacrificed. But their hearts were far away. They professed to own and to worship the Lord with their lips. But their heart was not in it. And God says, it's better that you break a neck of the dog. Because you are not sincere. You are not true. You say with your lips, but your heart is different. Interestingly, this year of the dog, this is the year of the dog, and next year is the year of the pig. And you find that the year of the pig come together. For this year, Happy New Year to the dog, year of the dog. Next year will be Happy New Year to the year of the pig. Right. So, coincidence, but never mind. Just to draw your attention to it. Now, there's another word I would like to draw attention to. Dung. In the King James Version. Paul says that I've given up all things that I've gained, that I may count them as loss, as dung, as rubbish, for the sake of the excellency of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have fellowship with him. What is this dung? This word dung, actually, in translated rubbish in NIV, subalon in Greek, and it means what is thrown to the dogs. The refuse, the ordure, the dung. That's why in King James Version translated dung. It is solid excreta, dung. Paul says, all that I have gained, I will count it as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus' name. Paul's resolve in life was to win and to know Christ. Philippians 3, 8 and 10. To do this, he regarded all things gained as lost and as rubbish or as dung, if they hampered in his relationship with the Lord. So, if you have not made your new Chinese New Year resolution, here is one that I can suggest. Adopt it as with Paul. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, dung, to be thrown to the dogs, that I may win and gain Christ. May this be your resolution. Right, let's go on. Before I pass over to another section regarding the study of the dogs, there is another word associated with the dog that we must know of. And that is the diminutive form of the word dog. And a diminutive form means a little dog, a puppy, a puppy. And it is the Greek word kumarion. It means a little pet. Now, this is found only in Matthew 15, 26, 27, Mark 7, 27, 28. What is it about? It's about a woman who came to the Lord Jesus Christ to ask him to heal his daughter. And he said, Lord, please heal. Lord said, you know, I have come here to give children bread. And he was actually referring to his first priority as to approach the Jews first. That his priority was a Jew, and she was not a Jew, she was a Gentile. So the Lord's priority was first to the Jews. But look at what he said. She said, Lord, it's true. you need to give the bread to the children. But when the children eat the bread, some of the crumbs will fall down from the table. And if they fall down on from the table, then I would like to have the crumbs. The Gentiles would have liked to have the crumbs. If the Jews refuse the bread, then we would like to have what is fallen from the table, even the crumbs. The Lord commended her for her great faith, and the Lord praised her for that. The Gentiles came into blessing when the Jews rejected the gospel. That's why in John chapter 1 verse 11 we read, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And Romans 11, 11 and 12 also states very clearly that indeed the Jews had rejected the Lord, and therefore the Gentiles had come in their place. Jews were the covenant people of God, but they failed God. And God and the Lord not had replaced the Gentiles, but had extended the gospel to the Gentiles to bring them into the fold, so that later on, Jews who believe in the Lord, Gentiles who believe in the Lord, can all be of one flock. Right. So we were Gentiles, dogs in a way, because we were dead dogs. We would be like Mephibosheth, invited to the David's table to sup with him. We are not worthy. We are dead dogs, as Mephibosheth said. Why dead dogs? Dog is no good. Dead is doubly bad. So we are doubly bad as sinners. Why double? We were born in sin. One. Second, we committed sin. So we were born in sin, conceived in sin, and we committed sin. Both make us doubly bad. We are sinners right to the core. Hence, having been saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy extended to us, we are no more dogs before God. Dogs are street walkers searching the streets for food. Such is the description of sinners. Now, if you look at Psalm 59 verse 5, we find that these dogs will go around the streets in the daytime, and at night will come back. And if they do not have enough food to satisfy them, at night they will go howling in the streets. They are street walkers. But we were sinners, taken off the streets to sup in the master's house. You remember in Luke 14, 16, 21 to 30, 24, the Lord Jesus himself told a story, a parable, of a master who organized a dinner and invited the people to come, but they refused to come. That would be the Jews. Oh, I have married a wife. Oh, I have purchased a calf. Oh, I have bought a property. I cannot come. Excuse me. And so the master gave word to his servants to go out to the quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. And we are the ones who have benefited from such invitation, saved by grace. Dogs are street walkers. Dogs are also scavengers. They eat flesh and blood. Dead animals in the field, Exodus 22:31, are not to be consumed by people. They are to be cast to the dogs in the field. But we have been invited to eat at the king's table. So we are no more dogs. We are no more walking in the streets. We are now at the king's table eating and supping with him. Human dogs eat human flesh. We saw this in the case of Ahab. We saw this in the case of Jezebel. They would eat flesh. We also must eat flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ said that except a man eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, he will not have eternal life. I explained that. Therefore, John 6:53. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, dogs also drink blood, as in the case of Jezebel, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And that is taken from John 6:53 and 54. What does that mean? Some people interpret that verse as referring to the bread and the cup. That except you take of the bread and drink of the cup, you have no life in you. That's not true. At that time when Jesus said those words, the Lord's Supper had never been instituted yet. But what did the Lord Jesus mean? Well, let's see. Earlier in the same chapter, he said, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That is the key to the understanding of verse 53. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Why? Because you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Why? Because you have drunk of his blood. So, to eat of the flesh of the Son of Man is to believe, is to go to him. To drink of the flesh, of the blood, is to believe on him. And so, when we interpret the text in its proper context, we will not misinterpret. Alright? So, this is just for your information. Because we are no more dogs, we are to behave not as dogs. They are no good. A. Be not as dumb dogs. Now, in Isaiah 56:10, in fact, we look at that passage. That passage refers to watchmen who will watch out for the enemies to come in Israel. And if these watchmen are like dumb dogs, referred to in 56:10, then of course these watchmen will be no good. So we should not be dumb. Now, at the Lord's Supper too, we should not be dumb. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was entering the city of Jerusalem, there were those people at the side shouting out, Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna to the King! And the Pharisees at the side said to the Lord, Ask your disciples to keep quiet, to shut up. And the Lord said, If I ask them to keep quiet, they cannot, the stones would immediately cry out. And that's what it should be. Even in at the Lord's Supper, we should not keep ourselves dumb. Men must open up their mouths. It's so refreshing this morning to find our brother here, young man, standing up to give praise to the Lord. Very, very refreshing. This is the first time I heard him. I am so happy and so glad. There should be more standing up to praise him, to worship him. They must not be dumb. If you are dumb, the women will rise up to give praise. Luke 19:37-40. Be not as sleeping dogs, lying down and loving to slumber, as we read 56:10. What are watchmen useful for if they sleep and they love to slumber? We are told that in Romans 13:11, it's now high time to wake up out of sleep. Let us wake up. We are told in 1 Corinthians 15 that we must be steadfast and unmovable, abounding in good works, serving the Lord. For the day is coming when He will come and reward us. Be not as greedy dogs, out for gain. These watchmen were like greedy dogs, only interested in gain, material gain. Be like Paul. He said, In whatsoever state I am, to be content. Be not as dogs with their necks broken. In other words, do not just by your lips show that you are so-called Christians, but by your heart, you are, and by your life, you are not. As we read in Isaiah 66:2-3, is just like breaking the necks of dogs. What is wanted is that Christians should give their spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord, and the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despair. Not break the necks of dogs, but let us break our hearts. Let's break our spirit to give unto the Lord what we actually mean. So, finally, the four, be ye a sheepdog, always on guard. Now, Job 30 verse 1 is the only text in scripture that has something good to say about dogs. So far, I told you I refer you to all the texts with all the bad characteristics about dogs. Job 30 verse 1 has something good. What is that? Job said of his three friends who have been trying to counsel him, "You three friends, you have been no respect to me." Job 30 verse 1. "I am an older person. You scold me. You rebuke me. You disdain me. You condemn me. You have no respect. You and your dead ancestors," and of course, when a child behaves, it's the ancestor, the father, and the grandfather, and the ancestors that is misbehaved. And that's why we have the Malay proverb, Korang Ajar. When Korang Ajar, and that's why many Malays very, very get insulted when you use Korang Ajar. Because it is not a reference to the person concerned, it's a reference to the father, to the mother, to the grandfather, to the ancestors. Because you are hitting at not the person concerned, you are hitting at the ancestors. And Job says, "You and your ancestors are not even worthy to be with my sheepdogs. My sheepdogs are sheepdogs only, but the way you behave are worse than my sheepdog. You are not even worthy to be with them." Job 30 verse 1. So, these sheepdogs, now I have no time to go on to the characteristics of these sheepdogs, but I will just say a few words here. They represent elders in the assembly, that we need to respect elders. Elders, not because of their position only, because of their maturity, because of their age, we need to respect them. Elders watch for our souls. Acts 30, 20-28. They are the sheepdogs too. Therefore, we need to obey and be subordinate to them. Hebrews 13, 17. Why? Because they have to submit an account of their care for us. You know, of all the so-called officers in the church, only elders are recorded there to be responsible to give an account for the care they take over the sheep. One day they have to give an account. And not even deacons are to do that. Not even missionaries are to do that. But elders are to do that. And therefore, we need to respect the elders. They have serious responsibilities. Elders must warn us of wolves in sheep's clothing that come into our midst to steal away the sheep. They must know their scriptures. They must know the Bible well, so that when people with false teachings come in, they know how to stop them. They work for the chief shepherd and the chief shepherd alone. That when the chief shepherd shall appear, they will receive the reward. And therefore, their work is unto the Lord and not unto men. So, beware of vile, vomiting dogs. They are godless and gross. 2 Peter 2:22. They return to their vomits, gross and vile. They are treacherous teachers who seek to ensnare others in the bondage of the law, as the Judaizers tried to do so, trying to bind us in under the bondage of the law so that we are no more free. They are the filthy, foul followers who seek to entangle others in backtracking into lust. 2 Peter 2:19 and 22. And finally, those who follow them are fools, returning to their folly. Because this verse, that dogs return to their vomits, is a quotation from Proverbs 26:11. It's a folly to go back to. Now, these few days, there have been a lot of talk about people who have converted to one religion and now want to return back to the original one, and so on. Well, this is something that is serious, and we hope that the right solution may be made. Finally, I end with this. In this year of the dog, consider all things as rubbish, that you may win Christ. Be as dogs saved by grace, well contented in Him, walking with Him, working for Him, and worshipping Him. Be not the dog that is dead, dumb and directionless, walking the streets and scavenging for crumbs that the world offers when you can feast at the Lord's table. Beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. They are dangerous dogs that seek to entangle you into the bondage of sin, superstition, and scare. So be careful of this. And this will be the last word on the year of the dog to you all, that you will take heed to what the scriptures say about dogs. Now, final note before I end. I have said a lot of things, quoted a lot of things, mostly bad, about dogs. Despite what is said about the dog above, let us remind ourselves that dogs are among God's creatures, and those of us who keep pet dogs still need to love, care, and cherish them as we would any of God's beautiful creatures. Don't, because of what I've said about dogs, that today you go and hit the dogs and throw away the dogs and so on. Would you throw that away? Would you? Okay. Take care of the dogs, pet dogs. They are beautiful. They are lovely. Take care of them. They are God's creatures. He has made everything beautiful in His time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. May you have a good year of the dog. I'm not wishing you that you go to the dogs, but I'm wishing you a great prosperity to, in this year of the Lord, in this year of the dog, to be what you should be. With this, I end, and you can receive all these again in my website. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you from what we have learned about the dogs. Lord, let us not be like dogs. Let us, Lord, be faithful to thee. Let us rise up to the occasion to be what thou would have us to be. So we commit ourselves to thee for this year. Be with us, Lord, we do pray for every one of us. This time, Lord, we remember Brother Reuben in hospital, Bukit Mertajam. We thank you, Lord, that in spite of the accident that he had, we thank you for the progress he has recovered, and we do pray that thou would continue to be with him, be with the father and the mother and members of the family as they wait upon thee and they wait on him to see his progress in the days that lie ahead. Hear us, Lord, we do pray as we ask all these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.